Welcome to Nonprofit Showcase, and this is your host, Fred Black, and here we are at WCHL 97.9 FM, and in today's showcase, we are excited to welcome representatives of our very own Community Home Trust. We have Robert Dowling, who is the executive director, and with Robert is Camille Berry, who is the development and communications manager. Welcome, Community Home Trust.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you.
I think, Robert, we did an interview a few years ago, and since then, you've not only renamed yourself, but you're in a completely different location. So for those who might not know the ancient history, and for those who are just learning about you, start off by telling us, what is a community home trust?
I'd be happy to do it, Fred. And we have moved, and we're just across the street from it, from University Place on Connor Drive now.
Well, that is
very
so
centrally
cool.
Located.
So cool.
We have changed our name too many times in my 19 years in this place.
You've been executive director 19 years?
19 years. I was hired by Orange Community Housing Corporation. We created the land trust at the behest of the local governments in 1999, and we changed our name in 2001 to Orange Community Housing and Land Trust, and then we changed it to Community Home Trust. Last change in my tenure, Fred, no more.
Now, trust is sort of like people do with their own money. You put it in a trust, and then it can't be taken out, right?
Except that's exactly the way we think of the real estate. That's exactly
you
it,
dictate
Fred.
The circumstances.
The deeds to our homes are held in the name of Community Home Trust. We sell our homes, as the lawyers call it, the attorneys say it's a leasehold interest in property.
Okay.
As technical stuff, our homeowners have all the rights and responsibilities of homeownership, except two things. Number one, they cannot sell their home to anyone at any price. You and I can. Someone offers me $1 million for my house today.
It's gone.
It's theirs. I'll throw in the car. Our homeowners can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
They own their home subject to a 99-year lease. Within the lease, there's a resale formula that determines the price at which they can sell it.
So they're not taking advantage of the good nature that got them the property in the first place. So you build the house on land that you have, and they then buy the house.
Yes. They're buying, again, it gets technical, it's a leasehold interest in that property.
Well, I lived in Hawaii for a while, and they have that all over the place.
I understand everything's on
you
ground
leases. You don't own any land. You're leasing.
Well, last night I was before the county commissioners, and they talked about the 99-year affordability policy. And one of the commissioners said, maybe we should shorten that to 75 or 60 years. And I stood up and I said, 60 years from now seems like a long time away.
Mm-hmm.
And 99 years, obviously, is further away. But at the end of 99 years or the end of 60 years, will homes be any less or more affordable than they are today?
Mm-hmm.
Do we think they'll really be more affordable than they are today? There'll be less land. There'll be more people. They'll probably be less affordable.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Robert. What was the initial motivation for adopting this model as opposed to other models that we see?
It was exactly that attempt to keep our homes affordable in perpetuity. Prior to us existing, the town had some affordable housing efforts in Culbreth Park, notably around 1990, and those homes were affordable initially, but by the time they resold the very first time, after just 4, 5, or 6 years, they sold unaffordably. Now, the town got back their money.
Because there was no more land. So
well, there was no mechanism to keep them affordable to the next buyer.
Uh-huh.
It was a complicated formula, but the formula was you could sell it affordably at a lower price, or you could sell it unaffordably at a higher price, and you'd split the proceeds with the town.
Mm-hmm. But didn't do anything for preserving the stock of affordable homes.
The price always went up. The people opted for the second option. I'll sell it at the higher price, split the proceeds, and now the home is lost to affordability.
Mm-hmm.
That's what spurred the town to find a new way of doing affordable housing.
Now tell our listeners, how do we define affordable? Because I know that gets tricky too.
It always does. Our market are people below 80% of median income. That's primarily who we sell homes to. What is 80% of median income? It goes by household size. For a one-person household, it's about $39,000. So that's the market we sell to, 39,000, and for four people, I think it's 54,000. Mm-hmm. That's
so,
who we sell to.
So median income is driving all of this.
Yes.
So as median income goes up,
the price of the home can go up. Mm-hmm. Unless interest rates go up more, in which case.
And that might happen again soon.
That could
who
happen.
Who knows?
And the second piece to affordability, Fred, is that's our target market, below 80% of median. And you don't want the home to cost more than 30% of the household's gross income.
Okay. Gross income, no more than 30% should go to housing.
No more than 30% for all of your housing costs. That's your principal, your interest, your taxes, your insurance, your HOA dues, everything. Mm-hmm. Should not exceed 30%.
True cost of ownership.
Our
Isn't
targets,
that what we call it?
Yes. And our target's 28%. We target 28%. If someone's at 32%, they cannot buy a house from us. Or at least they can't buy that house.
Mm-hmm. And I remember hearing a story once about somebody you had lined up for a house and they got promoted. And as a result of promotion, their salary went up and then they weren't qualified anymore.
That happens.
Yeah.
It's painful.
How painful is that?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, Camille, how did you get involved with Community Home Trust?
Almost 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I joined the team to help with development and communications. And what I get to do is amplify what it is that we offer. The affordable homes, the services that go into being able to purchase those homes, and also to recruit people who want to help us, donors.
And we'll talk about them in a little more detail. But you also have to figure out eligibility and capabilities and all of that when people apply, right? I mean, you have to go through a process to see who's going to work and who fits, and then you train. You do homeownership training, don't you?
Exactly. So we have a sales team that helps the applicants with figuring out if they are, in fact, eligible. And then they go through the orientation to understand what Robert just explained in greater detail and if it's the right fit for them. Then they have the homeownership education class that lasts about 8 hours on a Saturday. That's what you're committed to. Mm-hmm. And then a financial aid, not financial aid, thinking of college here, but financial counseling session.
How to make
a
it work for you.
One-on-one. Exactly. Yeah. One-on-one. And from that, you might need more.
Well, you know, I went to 4 years of high school, went to many years of college. Not once did anybody ever talk to me about what I needed to understand before I bought a house.
Exactly.
Now, some people are fortunate enough to have family that they can ask questions to because they've been through the process, but many are not so
fortunate.
And so we got a lot of people buying houses don't know what they're doing, right?
Exactly.
Well, one of the things I have to do that I do know how to do, and that is to tell you that we're going to take a quick break.
All right.
And we're going to be right back after this break with Nonprofit Showcase and your host, Fred
Welcome
Black. Welcome back to Nonprofit Showcase with your host, Fred Black. And we're with the Community Home Trust Executive Director, Robert Dalling, and Camille Berry, who is the Development and Communications Manager. And we were talking about all of the things that prospective buyers will go through before they are certified to become a homeowner. Mm-hmm. And Robert had told us earlier about some of the constraints. And so when you're orienting people, you're explaining these constraints.
Yep.
And one of the other constraints I think I've heard you say before is you can't buy the house and then turn around and rent it, right?
Correct, right.
So you have to live in it.
This is a homeownership program, and you're supposed to live in it. If you have a good reason to go away for a short period of time, we've had some people go 6 months or even up to a year, say, I need to do this for my job in Atlanta, I'll be back.
But that's by exception that you...
We give them approval to do that. Mm-hmm. It's the exception. Exactly.
And Camille, you were talking about the training where you're helping people, and I said, I never had any training for home ownership. What's the greatest challenge you found in trying to do the home ownership training piece?
People committing to that time. So it's a big commitment just to do that. So mm-hmm. The orientation, that's an hour. The financial counseling, that's an hour. And then there is setting aside that time for a full day to engage yourself and actually try to take in all of that information. And
and you give them handouts? And
we do. And it's
material.
Not just one speaker. We actually have experts to come in, mm-hmm. someone from the insurance industry, someone who is a mortgage lender. We have all those folks come in, mm-hmm. these partners come in and talk with these prospective buyers.
And the big pitfall, of course, is if you say, well, the mortgage is going to be $375 a month. Well, I can afford that. However,
right.
There's homeowner association, there's utilities, there's insurance. And I'm sure you must talk about the rainy day fund for your owners, too.
The stewardship fund. Thank you. We have a stewardship fund. We realized prior to 2007 that our homeowners were at risk should something happen to their roof, their HVAC, any of those big ticket items. And so in 2007, Robert and the board instituted this plan where when you bought a home, you would also factor in the cost of how much would it be to repair these as they aged. So each home comes with that insurance policy almost. Robert, you want to talk a little bit more about the stewardship?
It's like a homeowner association dues, Fred, but for things that
it goes into the pot.
Does not cover. The association, for instance, wouldn't cover your HVAC system. And as you probably know, an HVAC system could cost $4,000,
$5,000, or $6,000. You're talking to a man who just replaced a furnace.
Oh, wow.
And, you know.
It's not cheap.
But we'd been in the house a good number of years, so we knew it was coming.
Right.
But, and, you know, if you're able to put away for that rainy day, then it's not as big a hit.
And lots of low-income people are not able to,
exactly.
to put away.
Exactly.
It's not that they're not smart people. It's just that they don't, by definition, they don't have a lot of income.
And you see the cycle. It's the car. It's the furnace.
Yep.
It's the refrigerator.
Right.
When I bought a refrigerator, I was shocked at what they're selling refrigerators for.
I know, it's gotten fancy.
I said, you got to be kidding me. What do people who don't have any money do? Well, the answer was pretty clear.
Yeah. So we collect those funds for people as you go. So you're giving us 50, 60, 80 bucks a month, depending upon what kind of home you have. And then after 5 years, if you're hot water heater breaks down. Now, a hot water heater, of course, should last for 15 or 20 years.
Yeah.
Say it breaks down after 10 years, the money's there to replace
that. We can do that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think I went 18 years before the first one. And when that bottom falls out, it gets your attention.
Yeah, sure does. Right away.
Yeah, no hot water upstairs. You go down the basement, and there's the reason. It's all over the floor, right? Where do you get the land?
We used to do developments. And the land was typically donated to us. We did, our first development was Legion Road Townhomes, the corner of Legion Road, Scarlet Drive, next to the cemetery.
Right.
That was owned by the town of Chapel Hill, and they donated that to us in 1999.
So they're giving you lots, and then you can
and
build
we developed.
On the lots.
And Roger Perry and East West Partners donated land to us in Meadowmont, where we have the Rosemary Place Townhomes, right next to between the Harris Teeter and the UNC Wellness Center. So we developed those because the land was donated to us. We haven't done much development in recent years. We mostly implement the inclusionary housing policies of the town of Chapel Hill.
Okay.
And so the developer is required to build the affordable homes.
And then you take over.
And sell them to us, correct.
I see. And I remember, oh gosh, it's been several years. I went on a bus tour with you.
Yeah, you sure did.
You remember those? Were you there then, Camille?
I don't think so. Not when you went on the tour.
Yeah, well, I went on a bus tour and Robert challenged us. He says, we're going to drive through this neighborhood, and I want you to tell me which are the community home trust homes. Well, of course, nobody on the bus could do it until one person sitting in the back said, I see a pattern.
Don't give it away.
And I won't give it away. And because they saw a pattern, they knew exactly the answer, and you commended them for knowing the answer. But the rest of us, we were clueless.
I think that says
something about what you're doing and how you're doing it. And it's not that you're putting people in neighborhoods and placing them at a disadvantage coming in.
That's the way it's supposed to work. That's the whole notion of inclusionary, Fred, is you're including lower income people in all these new neighborhoods.
And being lower in income does not mean you're lower in importance.
Or character.
Or character. Now tell us, just give us a list of some of the employment places that homeowners are at.
48% of our buyers are public sector employees.
Okay. Could they be firemen, police?
We have
or
firemen.
Firefighters.
Firefighters, exactly.
Police officers, school teachers.
Lots of school teachers, lots
nurses.
Of municipal employees, lots of UNC healthcare employees. Lots of UNC healthcare employees from from their public safety offices as well,
mm-hmm.
To UNC, of course,
uh-huh.
to the school district, to the county, to the town of Carrboro.
And there they are. Do you and Susan Levy at Habitat ever compare notes? Because that's much like her profile, too.
Susan and I have a great relationship. We talk all the time, and yes.
Sometimes it's easier for people to go through the Habitat process than the community home trust.
We fit well together, Fred, because we're kind of the 60 to 80% of median, mm-hmm. and Habitat is like 60 to 40% of median.
Yeah.
So we're kind of like, we fit well together.
Mm-hmm.
If folks make too much for Habitat, they send them to us. If they don't make enough for us,
you can send them to Habitat. And there's not many of you in the community doing this kind of work. That's part
of
it.
On the ownership side, it's really Habitat and the home trust.
Yeah. And the need just keeps going up and up and up.
It's getting worse and worse.
Yeah. Well, look, we're going to take another quick break.
Already?
Yeah. I tell you, it's amazing. And then when we come back, let's talk a little bit about what's on track for the future and how people might be able to help or assist. And
welcome
this is
back
Nonprofit Showcase with Fred Black.
Your host, Fred Black, and we're with Community Home Trust. And we were just talking to Robert Dowling, the executive director, about how they fit in with other organizations in trying to address this critical affordable housing need in our community. And Camille had talked about how we educate people and go through the process of identifying eligibility and that sort of thing. I guess the question that listeners might have is, I'd really like to help. What can I do?
Ah, great question, Fred. Thank you.
Yeah. So first, I would like to encourage them to contact me because we're going to have another bus tour in April.
And if they want to see what you're doing,
exactly.
Well, the bus tour is just great.
I think it's fabulous.
And the snacks were good too.
Oh, you had snacks on that one, did you? So we're going to take a bus tour in April. The day is to be determined, and they can contact me.
If they're interested in going.
If they're interested in going.
And it takes about 2 hours altogether?
No, it's 90 minutes.
Okay.
So very quick, very
And we
quick.
Actually went into a owner's home.
Correct.
Who was
and
gracious enough to show us, like every other home.
Exactly, exactly. Just recently, we went in November to visit a homeowner in Meadowmont, and someone from the Meadowmont Homeowners Association board was on the bus tour. And invited her to get involved. So he mm-hmm. got to meet his neighbor. She got to meet
yeah.
her neighbor.
So you're connecting people.
Yes, yes. And that's what we love to do. Another way if they want to get connected is to join us. Opening Doors, our annual event, is taking place on September 15th. That's a Friday. It's a really good time. We're having a casino night.
Oh, yes. That's yeah. always fun. And what's your website again?
It is communityhometrust.org.
All one word.
All one word.
Just have to spell it right.
Right.
A lot of letters.
What about other kinds of donations, Robert? What can people do?
Well, we're always, like all nonprofits, Fred, as you know,
we're struggling to raise that money.
We fundraising is a big part of what we have, an increasing part of what I've had to do. As I said earlier, I've been here 19 years, and it's an increasing part of my job. It's unfortunate that nonprofits, and we've got some great nonprofits here in Orange County. I don't have to tell you that. You know them all. But we're all out there trying to raise money. I think what we do is very valuable to this community because we have homes that are permanently affordable because we do the 99-year lease. I think our homes will be even more valuable to the community 20 years from now than they are today.
Yeah. And so on your website, I take it there's a donate link?
There is.
And there's a volunteer link. Do you use volunteers?
We do, and we could use more volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
We could use volunteers to help us with our social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we get this word out? We could use volunteers to help us with our homeowners who are living in more modest spaces. And that is the way that the future is coming to us. We are going to be living in smaller spaces. So how do we operate mm-hmm. in those spaces?
And we have so many talented people in this community who have so many skills that they could lend to help others. I mean,
oh,
it's just
great.
Amazing what the opportunities are. Well, let me just ask you one last question. Where do you see us going? I know you write the column in the paper and sometimes you hint that, but in 15 seconds or less, where are we going?
Orange County is a leader in affordable housing. We approved the $5 million bond. I wish it was $15 million.
Yeah.
And we're doing a great job here in Orange County. We just need to keep doing it.
Well,
Camille, Robert, thank you so much for taking time to come tell us all about the Community Home Trust, and we wish you the very best. And this is Nonprofit Showcase with your host, Fred Black, and we'll see you next time.